Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yay! Or as I like to reference today, Happy Gratitude Day. It is November 25th. It is Thanksgiving 2010. So much to be grateful for. Oh, my God. So much to be grateful for. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. Yes, indeed. There is so much to be grateful for. I have an amazing guest with me tonight. And, all right, we're going to get deep into it, but I just want to let's do, you know, a quick meditation of breathing and bringing in our essence. Just inviting our essence to join us in our physical beings. Because our essence brings a clarity. A clarity that, my friends, the mind does not have. The mind really knows a good fight when it sees one. God bless. It's our essence, our soul, that speaks through our hearts, that really understands that if we want to have change in this world, we have got to change the protocol of how we respond to dark and negative energies. I mean, that really is a very simple and clear truth. We have to have an awareness, and when we invite our essence to join us in our physical beings, the awareness that we have is that, you know, people that act out in anger are covering up fear. And people that often frustrate us or aggravate us or, you know, it's really from an insecure place or a frightened space or a fearful space. And when we have clarity on that, you know, it's almost like looking at them, you know, from seeing their inner child. And seeing how, you know, all of us know growing up, I don't care if, you know, you're 15 or if you're 55 or 75, whatever. You know, we grow up and we have challenging experiences in this dimension on this planet. It definitely seems to be a part of the makeup of this planet. And, you know, everybody handles those challenges differently. But if we're looking to be peace and if we're looking to be, you know, truly the people that make a difference right now, November 25th, 2010, then, you know, we need to start walking our talk and being that change and responding differently. And I promise and guarantee you, if you're inviting your essence to join you in your body, the essence doesn't, it's not, you don't think about handling things different. Your consciousness knows what's right and will just, it'll just respond in the right way. And it might even feel like almost uncomfortable to not lash out at the guy who cut you off or not scream at your sibling, you know, because it's the holidays and they hit a trigger button on you. It's just a level of consciousness that comes with the essence that knows compassion because compassion is. And it knows understanding because understanding is. These are frequencies and tones, so to speak, and variations of life that they all exist. It's just up to us to choose those frequencies, and then by choosing that frequency, it will express through us. So thank you so much. Continue to invite your essence in. It is just an incredible experience. It's changing my life. It really is. And I love to share the things that are changing my life. And that is a great segue to my next guest tonight. Yes, the essence was our first guest. And my next guest is the wonderful Sade from Canada. Wait a minute. Sade, pretty voice, hawk lace woman. Welcome to the show, pretty lace, hawk lace woman. I love you.
Aw, thank you.
You're so welcome. And I mean, you're so diverse, and everybody knows when they come on the show, it's, you know, my segues. I stumble for some reason. I work with. Oh, thank you. I work with kids, and there are certain kids that just have trouble transitioning. You know, just getting them from either, you know, like maybe from watching TV to going upstairs, or from the dinner table to start getting ready for bed. And I laugh because I know those children intimately, because I have trouble transitioning segments of my show.
Me too. I have trouble transitioning getting out of the house in the morning to work. Do I have everything? Do I have everything?
I'm glad you understand.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I?
So how have you been? How is your autumn going? And now I know it's not Thanksgiving in Canada, but you have a Thanksgiving like a couple of weeks ago, correct?
Yeah, we had Thanksgiving in October.
Okay.
Actually.
About
a month ago. Yeah.
Right.
And it was nice. What did I do? Oh, yeah, I went home to see my family for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember seeing that on Facebook. I was psyched for you.
It was the first year I got to see my family since I moved to Vancouver in almost 5 years. Well, the first year I went for Thanksgiving. And I remember the first Thanksgiving without my family and just being so far away. And you don't really realize like how much you miss your family until like those kind of things happen.
Yep.
Like Thanksgiving, and I was we were invited to this other house and these people I didn't know, and I was crying on Thanksgiving. I miss my family. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be with this family. I don't even know these people.
Right.
But after you just hit a few things, like, it's just a change, right? So,
exactly.
And then I've been out here for so many years, and every Thanksgiving has been different, whereas prior to moving here, every Thanksgiving there is a tradition, and every year was, like, the same people, and so I kind of got used to that, and so it was really nice to see my grandma and my mom and just spend time, quality time with family and really enjoy just being in each other's essences.
That is beautiful. Because now, I don't know if you experience this in Canada, but in America, we literally, at this point, we go from Halloween directly to Christmas. Thanksgiving, which is one of my favorite times of the year, is very barely acknowledged at all by mainstream media. I mean,
I think it's the same way here.
Okay,
it's the same. Like, the only thing that they're selling on TV is turkeys.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's all about the turkey and...
Because it promotes families and gratitude, it's like you see them tripping over themselves because there's nothing to sell. It's a virtue.
You
can't buy a family. You can't buy a virtue. It just cracks me up how the culture is just turned into this machine that if there's not a product, you know, next to it, it's just not acknowledged.
True. How do you sell thanks?
How do you sell thanks?
Well,
and I think that's actually the paradox, is that you can't buy it.
It's a genuine feeling.
I mean, I know plenty of, you know, wealthy people that are very depleted in the gratitude containers, the gratitude tank.
Just,
you know,
like,
the,
you can't buy love.
Can't buy love either.
You can't really buy gratitude either. I guess it's just something, and I guess maybe people who are really wealthy and they've been financially wealthy their whole lives, I guess they've just had things handed to them. So it might even be more difficult to find those genuine gratitude moments, because it's like everything is just there. It's accessible. It's things, and it's those virtues that they just haven't really gotten in touch with, I guess.
Exactly. Well, and the culture doesn't promote
having compassion for them too. Definitely,
because you know, I know a lot of people think if you have money, all your problems are answered. But let me tell you, that is really, you could not be farther from the truth. That is not a truth, because I see the children being raised by nannies. I mean, you know, every child wants the love and the support of their parents.
Yeah.
And that can be a step parent. Or it can be an adoptive parent. I'm not saying it has to be blood.
Yeah.
But when the parents live in the house and it's the nannies that are raising the kid with the love and the support, it's traumatic to the child that they're not getting the attention from the...
Yeah, it would build up probably a lot of resentment towards the parents.
Absolutely. I feel it's a form of neglect, even though, you know...
Even though they're
the
making sure their child gets everything and whatever, it's like nothing compares to that, like, parental love and attention.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. I mean, I'm blessed now. The family I'm with now, they're very family-oriented, which is, you know, wonderful because not only are they very good with their own children, they also look at me not as a nanny, but as part of the family, which for me, so throughout the night, let's just talk about things that we're grateful for. So that is one of my shares, that I am grateful for Anya and Sahana and their beautiful family. For they're really an extended, they're just an extended family for me. I am part of another beautiful family, and it's theirs, and
I'm
truly
so blessed
grateful
to have
them.
In the industry that you're in. Like,
yes.
Do you get to choose their families, or, like, do you get to interview, like, what do? Or do you just get put into a family through an agency?
Well, actually, you can do D all of the above. The way I found these guys is through an agency, and then when I left the agency, just said to them, listen, I promise I can be there for you. What any of your nanny/babysitter needs, if you stop calling the agency, I promise I'll be available no matter when you ask me. I'll make myself available. And it started off at one day a week, and then it turned into full-time and, you know, weekends if they, you know, have date night. I don't think I've ever said no to them. You know, I've kept my word, and they've kept me in bank. So
you're so blessed to have found such a wonderful family to share your time with and do what
indeed.
You're
thank
passionate
you.
About. Yeah.
Yes. No. Absolutely. And I to not have my own children and have their beautiful children as kind of like my surrogate children. Hands down, they are my angels and my teachers, and I am genuinely blessed. And I know that there's, you know, I don't have to lose that to know that. I know there's some things in life sometimes we have to go without
to realize, like, how much
we appreciate.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like family, like for me, I have a really big family, and to be family was just kind of there. Like, I have a huge family, like, I have a lot, they care about me a lot, and, like, it was really hard to just kind of do things without having your family butting in all the time and telling you blah, 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 and, but once you're away from your family, you just realize, how important family really is, and when they're gone, and having family members pass away, like, being so far away, it's like, wow, so... I'm really grateful to have such an awesome family and a big family who I never feel alone. Like, I know spirit's always with me, but I know I'll never be homeless. Like, my family is way too big for me to ever, you know, and some people don't have that, and I really have taken it for granted. But so for me, I'm really grateful for my humongous family and all their quirks and with all whatever the dysfunction, and I feel like I'm an example to my family, like I'm a role model to my family.
Absolutely, you're beautiful. They're very good. Look what they produced. They produced you.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
so to speak,
always.
You know, I mean, you're a fabulous human being. So your family did well in my eyes.
Yeah, they were super worried about me when I was a teenager because I was just really as a troublemaker and. So, like, to them, they're just so grateful that I'm not, like...
not on that path anymore.
I think they're amazed.
I can appreciate
they're amazed that I've had such a turnaround because a lot of them were freaked out that you're moving to Vancouver. And you know, like, it's so far away, it's so big, don't be hanging out on Hastings, like, which is, like, you know, I don't know if you
I can just tell by the way you said it that it's, right, probably not the area you want to be hanging out.
It's the gutter of the gutter of Canada, basically. It has the highest homeless population and maybe even North America.
Okay.
And that's where I work right now.
I was going to say, though, don't you work with the homeless?
Yeah.
Well, but there's a difference between hanging out there and working. I mean, you're genuinely in service. Yeah.
There's a huge difference. But I've worked in this office for since the beginning of the summer. And at first it was great. It was fabulous. Really enjoyed my clients. Really enjoyed inspiring them and, you know, hearing about their lives and et cetera.
Right.
But I've had my clients now since July, August, and just going down to that area every single day and being in that environment, all of our clients who use the employment center, they use the computers, my desk is right in that area, and like, I hadn't realized how much it actually has worn me down a bit in terms of energy and my liveliness. It's almost like, it's like we match our environment. We're attracting beings, right? So the morale in my office has gone up a little bit since I've been there, but I can feel like whenever I go there, like I'm sort of protecting myself. I almost have an ego about me because you're just more. I don't know, but I'm totally a different person. I try to stay very authentic.
Right.
And whatever, but just, it's just been...
Well, and it's an environment that is, you know, heavy. I mean, if everybody's homeless...
It's the vibration of the area.
Yeah.
The area.
Oh, okay. It might even be in the land.
There.
Yeah.
I've seen people just, like, outside my window, wigging out on heroin and, like, right outside my office window. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, that's kind of heavy.
Every day and... I change my route every single day I go to work because, like, I just don't want people following me or, like, I walk by at least 10 panhandlers on the way to work, like, at least.
Right.
So, but anyways, I'm really grateful for my job and I'm really grateful for the experience I've had in my job. Coming out of my cushy counseling school into this harsh environment has just taught me duality and how to adapt in duality and... even the people that I work with, I'm really grateful to have them. My boss is such a hard ass, and I really had to, like, really had to step out of myself, learn how to not take things personally, learn how to adapt in, like, more of the business setting and really be clear and congruent and not wanting to look like an idiot. You know, like...
Oh, you can never look like an idiot, but listen, making mistakes, I tell my kids this all the time, it's just part of the growth, you know. None of us look like idiots as long as we understand making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course. It's just
the
office environment. It's like the way my office is. It's like they're looking for something. They're looking for you to screw up. Or like,
really?
I don't know. But when I first started, it was like I had to like prove myself. I had to sort of my boss because she's a bully. And I had to take matters into my own hands. I had to go above her head in the situation.
Oh, wow.
So, and then after that, things were just really smooth because I put up my boundaries.
Right.
And that was a huge learning because basically I was hired by the president and she put me in this office with the executive director and basically it was intruding on her office because she didn't get to hire me. I was just hired.
Oh, I see.
All politics involved and it was like, well, your president hired me, so hi. Here I am.
Yeah, welcome. Well,
so
if there
I'm
was
grateful.
Anybody that, I mean, if there was ever a sweeter energy, when I say sweet, you have strength in you, too. It's not just about, you know, sweet and, you know, roll over me.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom that I know of you, you know, clearly, you know, nothing happens by accident.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I think that maybe, like, intimidated her a little bit. Was, like, because I'm just, like... I can be really nice and sweet. And I think she tried to kind of walk all over me a little bit when I first started because I'm just starting
right.
a job and blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
But,
you're the new girl.
Counselor, and I understand where you're coming from and I understand your behaviors. And you know what? Like, I felt
yes.
very bullied and I'm not gonna just let you walk all over me. So I had
well,
to.
Well, you know, let's talk about that because that
yeah.
is very, that's prevalent in my life as well from a personal standpoint. And, you know, I think it's like.
Can
well,
I just say one thing?
Let me ask you a question. What did you, where did you pull from within when it was time to face her, you know, because it's clearly a challenge. She's your boss, so,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? There's a dynamic going on here that, well, is she your boss or is the president your boss?
She was my boss because I was in her office. The president
okay.
hired me to do a project, so.
Okay.
But she actually, I don't know, not to, like, go on about the story, but my manager was supposed to be somebody else. And then he reported to her. And then when
okay.
I started and I was communicating with my the manager, who was supposed to be my manager, she came up to me out of nowhere and she's like, "You report to me. I'm your boss. Not so-and-so. I'm
right.
your boss. You report to me." Like, very, like, I don't know. She was just came in stomping and it was like,
right.
oh, well, in the email, Faye said, "I report to so-and-so, and so-and-so reports to you." No, you report to me. So that just, like, oh, it was just crazy. So it was like,
well,
oh,
you know,
God.
It's so funny, because what I'm starting to recognize, like I said, you know, at the top of the show, about the, you know, people that are insecure, it's so
power
interesting
struggle.
What they do to get the attention from the space of insecurity, as opposed to people, what people who are secure about who they are, how they really don't need attention, because it's all about energy feedings. I mean, that's what, like, relationships are all about. Who's getting fed energy? Are you the victim or the victimizer? Are you the, you know, the pole? So many different polar opposites, you know, and then there's the awareness that you can be the neutral player, which is, I'm finding in my own walking
yeah.
of the neutral, then you just piss everybody off all at once. It's so funny
person.
How, the neutral person, because everybody wants you to pick a side. Pick
yeah.
a side, and
both
it's like,
sides.
No, I'm not going to pick a side. And then both sides seem to be, like, they're uneasy around peace.
They could be, yeah, because they're probably looking to trust you and confide in you, but they're not comfortable doing that because you're neutral. You're
and
not
therefore
gonna
I'm transparent,
side.
Right.
You're
exactly.
going to say, oh, I hear you, and I can also see this person's point of view, and wow, what are you going to do about that?
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Like,
or what's worse is at this level, which I'm also funny, my consciousness, if I know something, like people will say to me, can I tell you something and you won't tell anybody else? And I say at this point, no, don't tell me, because I cannot promise I'm not going to tell the person. Because my whole, I have a transparency thing. I have intended transparency, because that's part of the ascension process, is I have to be able to raise myself to a frequency, and secrets are like little anchors. They just, they hold down the frequency. So even at the risk of losing, quote-unquote, friends, who I don't believe are really my friends, if I lose you because I don't keep a confidence, because at this point everybody knows I can't keep a confidence, you know, meaning don't
yeah.
tell me anything you can't own, because if I say it, I'll own it. You know, there's this just level of integrity that, you know, a lot of people are upset with other
exactly.
people in friendship circles, and this one's talking to this one about that one, and, you know, I'm more about, listen, why don't you just say it direct, and then,
yeah,
but a lot of people, confrontation is not their gig.
I guess that would be like almost like I don't know, there'd be some sort of like shame or guilt or something attached to it, where why can't you just tell other people what's so uncomfortable about this that you're not able to share it with? Like, what
absolutely.
Don't you own about yourself, right? So I totally
absolutely.
Respect that.
Absolutely, because whatever you're not owning,
you can't own it,
then
don't
yeah.
need to tell me, because I'll make you own it. Just kidding.
Well, that's what inevitably I'm like, listen, I don't want to be in the, because I'm getting to the point where it just doesn't do me any good to hear about other people, you know, people in my circle. Just go
my
direct.
My auntie does that, and she does it really well. I guess it's an acquired skill. It would definitely be an acquired skill to just be able to say no to those kinds of things, because even me, I'm like, yeah, give me the dirt. Like,
yeah, no, and I come from a long line of gossiper. I mean, I do enjoy gossiping, and I admit that. But I can't do the gossip and then hold it as a secret, which, of course,
yeah,
from
no,
a gossiper,
like,
most people are like, then they don't want to talk to me. They're
I'm
like,
the same
we're not going
to
give you details.
And I don't like to speak ill about people, like, and if, you know, it is something that's maybe not someone's prettiest side, like, I just see all sides of things, and I'm so compassionate, and I'll make an exclaim, like, you know, not that
right.
I'm like judging this person, but like,
no, you're protecting them. I can totally feel that too.
Yeah, like I would never like just be speak ill about someone, like, oh my god, look at
yeah
this.
No, and this isn't made up stuff, this is stuff that I
yeah.
see in my interpretation of their interaction with
of
me or someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
is, you know, it's not the best thing to do, and I have found it that, you know, my circle of friends all are basically acknowledged gossipers, so I'm like, you know, because I'm the type of person, you know, back in the
and
day.
And if you don't,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, if you don't want someone to know something, then just don't tell anybody. Like, seriously.
Well, and see, that's the thing.
Setting yourself up.
Why
like,
would you tell a secret? Right. See, most people can't. There's like an insatiable desire to share, and for me, that feels like, because that's part of something natural. Now I get that. When you say, it's like, because whenever someone says, okay, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell, and I'm like, well, but you didn't do that. You're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So why expect me to not tell anybody when you didn't even yourself not tell anybody? Cause,
and isn't it worse if it's like they're talking about somebody else?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess people are,
like,
for me, confrontation has never been, I've been confrontational my entire life. And I've
mm-hmm.
literally gotten my ass kicked on several occasions because of that confrontational nature. But what I find it to be morphing into as I grow, you know, frequency-wise and just grow in a maturity-wise, is that I'll face fears. Because what it really is people, I see people lying, whether to themselves as well as to others, all the time, because they're afraid to take responsibility of something out of whatever the fear that they're not going to be loved, the fear that they're not going to be supported, the fear that they're going to be alone.
Yeah, they'll color it up or lie or like.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, and I tell them, listen, you can lie all you want, but in this frequency, the truth is going to come out. So why lie?
And that's
what
holds you down. Those lies, those secrets, like, that's where ghosts come from. Like, people who have passed on and they're so ashamed of stuff that they've done in their lives
mm-hmm.
that they literally cannot move into the light because they won't admit they did wrong. They won't admit, like, they're not going to have a life review because they don't want to see it. They don't want to see what they've done, whether it be, like, priests who molested children or whatever, like there are so
it doesn't even have to be, it could have been a husband cheating on a wife, you know, it doesn't
could have
even
been
have
anything
to be
right. Yeah, I know that was a gross example, but
no, well, I just wanted to let people know, right, people don't cross over for things that you know, secrets within families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be a big thing, the family secret, you know, you see it on you know, like the Oprahs and stuff, and it's like, boy, my whole gig was growing up, I will heal our family secret because I'm not carrying this burden my whole life, not even close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just time to be healed. And I'm the only one in my family who ever went to therapy. And stunner, I'm the only one not losing my marbles right now. I mean, like, gee, imagine.
Oh, yeah.
That.
And and this is up for controversy, but like people who are schizophrenic. I've heard analogies that it's just from a long line of maybe family trauma. It could be family secret. It just could be all of these negative or whatever things that are not being discussed in families, secrets, et cetera, that have just created, that are just, somehow they're blocking this human being now. Because things are exposed, and so there's this thing. There's research on it. People can look it up if they want. Families that are doing healing work together are finding that other family members who may
are healing
vicariously, but through just family healing.
Yes. Yes, no, I definitely believe that because, you know, by no means do I claim to know how energy works, because I don't. But I know it has effects where what happens to one affects the whole, because that is, the nature of energy is holographic. I am a complete wholeness of the entire cosmos, but I am, you know, clearly related to, because I know for a fact when I was healing from my molestation, I saw dimensions go, and I saw it go backwards as well as forwards. So I knew that I was healing ancestral karma as much as I was healing my own personal karma, which totally makes sense to me because as I've grown up, the dynamic of sexual abuse within my family, meaning my immediate family, my cousins, grandparents, I can see that that's the thread that my bloodline took on. And I'm not saying we're the only ones that took it on, but that is the thread that is through. So at some point, if someone does the healing, everybody in that bloodline is affected.
It's a ripple effect, especially bloodline.
Exactly.
Especially bloodline.
Exactly. And so I think we choose the families we're coming into, especially this particular lifetime, which is, you know, known as the transformational lifetime. I mean, this is a different lifetime than the average, that, you know, it's like these masters, there's all these masters in the families that are awakening, genuinely healing their bloodlines and their culture and, you know, just the whole dynamic where one person makes a big difference.
Yeah, I definitely feel I'm on that path because just being away from my family, and my family does have a lot of dysfunction in it, and it's like I'm a neutral in my family, which is very rare because they tend to pick sides and they tend to, like, abandon each other and those kinds of things. But for me, I'm a neutral and everybody loves me. And it's like a part of me is afraid to move home because I'm afraid that my family will try to make me pick sides. They'll get angry at me if I talk to this person or communicate with this person. And I've actually, even on Facebook, like my cousin saw that I added my other cousin to Facebook. And she wrote me this nasty email, and I was like, well, honestly, I'm just sending love to everybody. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Family, and I'm not looking at behaviors, and I'm not looking at those things, and we all need love. So, and then I had another telling me about how she beat up another one of my cousins, and I was just like, oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry you guys are having a hard time. And she was totally, like, shocked because she thought I was going to start, you know, like, talking shit about my cousin. And it was like, no, I'm sorry you guys are having a hard time. I hope you can work it out. And
that's the neutral point of view. Exactly.
I love both of you. I love you both, and I'm sorry to hear that. And then she's like, I'm really sorry I told you. But it's definitely, it's just like, I'm just going to love everybody. I'm not going to pick any sides. And so I already know that even being so far away, I'm making a huge impact on my family just by like living by example and not feeding into their dramas, into their drama triangles, into all those types of things, and just being authentic in what I love to do.
There you go.
And
very powerful.
Yeah, and
very
part
powerful.
Of me is like, am I ever going to move home? I don't know. Like, a part of me is, like, is afraid to move home because I don't want to get sucked in. I kind of get depressed even sometimes when I go home because it's just, I'm just at a different conscious level than a lot of my family. And it's like and it's just, when you're in a vibration, it's going to match, right? Like, you're going to eventually find a medium point. And whether that's them getting a little bit uplifted by me or me going down the scale. And I guess it's all learning. Like, it's all learning for me, too. And it's like, so maybe this time when I go home for Christmas, I can challenge myself to stay in my conscious being and to maybe do extra meditating, do extra things to up my energy and to expand my prayer field.
Right. Well, I mean, and one thing I have found is, like, I mean, and this is even just recently, I mean, as recently as last night, there's certain people when I'm around them, there are times I can hold my frequency of, you know, unconditional love. And I mean, I have a joyful nature. That's just, if left to my own means, I'll settle in joy. You know, that's kind of like how my energy settles. But hands down, I'm attracted to the contrast of joy. And I'm honest about that. I own that, you know, because there's nothing worse than somebody saying, I'm a great person, but I hang around these really crappy people and it's all their fault. I mean, it's like, please take a little responsibility. You're hanging out with them. So it's almost like I have some trouble expressing some of the more negative, quote unquote, emotions. And when I'm around people who don't have trouble expressing that, there's something to be garnished that
it's
for me from a healthy
like
point
it
of view.
Gives you, it's almost like it gives you a sense of permission.
Absolutely. Hands down, it's a permission slip because in my joy and being raised in the condition I was raised in, it was essentially, you know, girls don't get mad. And, God, I get real mad. I mean, are you kidding me? And
you
I'm
have
just kind of learning to express that.
And it's passion. Like, the more angry you can get, just know that's the more energy that not that you can transmute the energy too, right? But just knowing you're capable of that amount of power, of passion, of, right? And you can transmute it into, like, freaking amazing joy.
Or creativity. Usually people get angry because they want things to change, and by not allowing the anger to be expressed, change doesn't happen. And
it's in you, right? It's in your body somewhere,
right. So that's where the change happens. See, if we don't express it happens within us.
To express it, accept it, and transmute it, move on, whatever.
Yes.
Just as long
yes.
as you express it. You got to feel it to heal it, right?
You got to feel it to heal it. Beautifully stated, yes.
It's interesting because I was at a meditation group on Monday or Tuesday with a friend of mine. And I've been meaning to go for a couple times, but I've just gotten really busy. So finally Tuesday I was able to go. And this is sort of like my friend's meditation group. And so then I was there and I was observing and she was feeling a little bit uneasy, and she's really close to the host, the meditation lady host or whatever. And so the lady was going around and finding, like, she was just, like, digging into people and finding things to heal. Like, it was very, like, I was, as a coach and as a counselor, I was very, like, I wanted to give people these messages too, but I didn't want to overstep the lady's, she was the facilitator, so I didn't want to overstep that.
Right.
And there's, like, thing, and then she would go off on, like, this other tangent and, like, lose the subject. And anyways, so there is some things I was like, hey, I should be doing this work. Like, but anyways, so.
Well, and if it inspires you, hear that message, indeed.
I was like, do some group healing stuff or some group meditation and whatever, do some of that kind of stuff with my friend Jen, who I'm talking about right now. So anyways, what happened was, so the lady got over to Jen eventually, and she could tell Jen was feeling uneasy, and she is in an uneasy place right now. She doesn't have a job. She's figuring out, she's trying to raise money to go to the Philippines to see her family and to do all these things, right? So she's in a tough spot right now, and she's still trying to keep her hopes up. And
She's in transition,
you know,
and it's a scary space. And
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyways, the lady was, like, asking her questions, and Jen was, like, getting upset and crying. And and then there's only one guy at the meditation group, and so he was representing the divine masculine, basically. And he was so masculine, like, super, just, like, really good-looking and whatever. Anyways. And then, so him and Jen had to look each other in the eye, and Jen has a really hard time accepting love and nurturance from males and, they, like, letting them in. So, and it was so funny because she was asking to get, like, to get some healing on this particular thing, and then here she is.
And here it is showing up. I mean, that's the beauty
like,
of it.
I actually let out a chuckle. I couldn't help it. I was like, are you serious? Like, the universe totally set this up so perfect for her. And she was so resistant to it, of course, because it's uncomfortable. Healing is uncomfortable sometimes.
It is.
So,
but it's so worth it.
Got,
I just want to note that. It's worth it.
Oh, for sure. It's, you feel so much lighter, and you didn't even realize you're carrying around this weight. You're like, wow. So anyways, and then so that happened, and then the group went on, and we're closing up the day, and we're closing up the group, and Jen is still kind of out of it. She's kind of, like, she had some tears, and she was just kind of, like, kind of airy and not really grounded, and then, so the meditation lady, I don't want to swear on the radio, but she's like, can I swear?
Well, yeah, not the F word, though, only because I don't want to offend anybody.
Okay, so anyway, the meditation lady said, she's like, Jen, I just want you to say F you. Say it to me. So Jen was like, F you. And then she just, like, all of a sudden got so grounded. And then so then we were all just, like, yelling the F word. We were like, F you. But not to anybody or anything. It was
that's
just, like,
a healthy expression of it.
Yeah,
that's what
we were just
exactly.
like, we were like, it's. Like, it's allowed. Like, again, obviously, like, all the other stuff wasn't really, like, hitting whatever it is in you that's expressing itself right now.
Right.
And then she was like, F you. And, yeah, and I was like, awesome. That was fun. And then I called her later on that evening, and she got a really huge piece from that. And so she had actually dealt with some abuse, some sexual abuse when she was a child, and she realized that because her parents, she always had to protect herself as a child. Her parents weren't really there to stand up for her or give her that, so she always took responsibility for everything. And what she realized is that she was allowed to say, you know what, F you, I was a victim. I'm not, like, a victim person, but, yeah, I was a victim, and I was a child, and there wasn't anything I could do about that, and
right.
I'm allowed to be angry about it. Because she had been sad. She had been every single thing. She had taken responsibility for it. She almost, like, said, like, it wasn't her fault at one point, or it was her fault. She knows it wasn't her fault, but, you know, it's a complex thing.
Of course. But anger is actually a movement in the direction of healing from sadness.
Exactly.
Yes.
Anger is a higher vibration than depression.
Exactly.
So
did you read the book?
And you're angry.
You know that book, right? Yeah.
Which book?
The book Hawking's, where he muscle tested the anger is a higher vibration. He muscle tested all the way up to, like, love, which was 760, and I can't think of the name of the book. Keep talking. If it comes to me, I'll blurt it out. So
cool. Yeah,
but it
no,
is
I read
proven.
It actually,
yes,
I read this really complex shamanism book for, like, a few 4 years ago, which I lent to a friend and never got back. But basically, it talked about that stuff. It was really interesting.
Okay.
So
okay.
And yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so she, yeah, so it was like a really powerful piece for her was just to acknowledge the anger and be and express it.
Absolutely.
And what else are you angry about? It doesn't mean you're blaming people. It doesn't mean, but yeah, you know what? Sometimes we just need to say F you.
Yeah,
or,
well, it's an
like,
energy that's inside us. That that literally has to be released. And that's not blame. That's acknowledging that, you know, listen, we were stifled as children. And, you know, we were mistreated as children. And as much as
we can have acceptance and blah, 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 like sometimes the anger needs to come before the acceptance.
Because it did come before. It's acknowledging energy as a significant player, that energy just doesn't go away per se or transform or transmute, because what happens is when we feel it and we're told not to feel it, we kind of compartmentalize it into our subconscious, which is a place that, in my personal opinion, the frequencies we're going to, there's no such place called subconscious anymore or unconscious. There's only one conscious. And we're becoming aware of everything that was hard for us to look at. But in order to do the shift in consciousness, we have to acknowledge it. You know, that's just, that's the nature of where we are on the planet, which is kind of interesting, because for it to be happening to the whole human race all at once, like, wow, you know, isn't the world going to be an interesting place for the next couple of years?
It is going to be interesting.
It really is. I mean, because not only is it happening from a vibrational point of view, you know, like the front runners, it's almost, you know, like I did a thing called Holosync, which in a nutshell was a frequency thing that I played with that purposely brought up uncomfortable feelings for me. I did it in what I would call a controlled environment, because I didn't want these emotions to come up through experiences just in my life. I was like,
triggered.
If I control the environment, then I'm better apt to handle it, because I know it's coming and I don't have to create, you know, a negative relationship or something to that effect. But that's the front runners. Many of the 6 billion or 7 billion people, however many people are on the planet now, at this point, they don't even want to look at, you know, the little wart on their finger, let alone how they were, you know, abused as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we are talking some major stuff is coming up, and it's not coming up because they're doing it in a controlled environment. They're in denial, they're resisting it, and so it's coming up because their neighbors and them are having wars, so each of them can experience whatever it is that they need to. And it can be any kind of collision. It can be a collision through your car, a collision through your intimate relationships, whatever. But it is something that the front runners who have, you know, basically been going and working through their stuff for anywhere from 10 to 30 years, depending on how early you woke up, it really is, you know, it's kind of like, I don't consider myself a space holder anymore, an energy holder. I used to consider myself an energy holder. Now I consider myself someone who can help people move through their experiences. So I'm an energy mover.
Beautiful.
Because, transmutation is about, so it's about getting angry but not being stuck in the anger. If you get stuck in the anger, then the anger is going to choke you and make your life miserable.
Yeah,
but
then
you're getting into
patterns, right? You're getting into patterns and neurological spaces that easily will trigger anger.
Yes.
So it's feel it, heal it, move on.
Yes. And then find the stasis, you know, the vibration again, that feels good. Like, for me, it's always about go to the woods. If I keep going to the woods takes care of me. So if I get angry, if I get sad, or if I feel abandoned, or whatever, if I go to the woods, I find my center again, and then, you know, I can deal with it because everybody needs to
find their safe place, their sacred place.
Yes.
Whether it's,
and I recommend nature, but not necessarily the woods. I mean, some people like the beach, some people like the mountains, the prairies, you know, it doesn't, whatever. You know, if you want to go hug a cactus bush, go hug a cactus plant.
Totally.
You know, but hey, if that's the only plant you got because you're in the desert, you need what you need, you know, sit near a cactus.
Stare at the sky.
Stare at the
sky. Stare at the
stars. Yeah.
the stars.
Yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. Hey, I want to let everybody know, too, that it would be great if you guys feel like sharing some gratitudes. And they can be situations that are happening in your life right now that you're finding it hard to find gratitude. Me and Sade would love to, you know, support you in a process. If you want to call in, the number to call in is 646-929-2084. And press 1 on your dial pad, which will raise a hand, and I'll bring you on the air, and we can help if anybody's open to it. It's a very powerful process. Pardon?
Just finding those lessons and being grateful for, you know, what did I learn in this crappy situation, or
yes,
how can I find the gratitude? If you're having trouble finding the gratitude in a situation, then please let us help you. Let us find gratitude in everything, good, ugly, whatever.
Yes.
Everything.
Well, because the beauty of doing that is that's where the real shifting actually takes place. I mean, it's easy to love the lovable. Can we love the unlovable? Because that unconditional love loves everything. Unconditional love loves the war. Unconditional love loves disease. I mean, because unconditional love has no conditions. It is just love.
It is just love into everything.
And it's challenging because we are conditioned to be totally polar, totally judgmental. And it doesn't even matter which side to be, whether you're the light fight in the dark or the dark fight in the light. The fight
judging each other.
Exactly. Well, because I don't remember
that's
who was
to accept our darkness too, and accept our anger, and accept all of our duality.
Exactly, because it
we
is
can't
us.
Deny any part of ourselves.
Exactly,
we have that energy. It's what we do with it that we have choice of. We can express it. We can acknowledge it. We can get caught up in it. It's ultimately we're responsible for how we express the energy.
Yeah, and play with it. Yes,
play with it.
We're the projectors. We're the producers. We're deciding all of this, and there is so much power in owning everything in your life, because the minute you can own it, and I get it that when we first wake up, most of the things we're owning are really the thing, you know, we're knee-deep in shit. I totally get that. But once we own that, because we're owning it, what we're talking about tonight is seeing the blessing. Like, I here's a story. I had a gentleman who, the gentleman who canceled last week, who's a very, was that a sneeze?
Oh, no, it's a little cough. I'm actually recovering from a cold.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, bless you anyway. Bless you, sweetie.
Thank you.
When he canceled last week because he couldn't make it on the show, I took it very personally. I mean, it was like, you know, these are third Thursdays. I have a guest that's third Thursday, and, you know, he was canceling for a joyous reason because he had friends coming up and he wanted to be with them. And when I first saw that, I took real offense to it, and I said to him, you know, listen, I need to contemplate this, and I go to the woods where I get my love because I know it will help me to see my truth, because that's what love does. Love, or unconditional love, helps us see every perspective and from the highest perspective. So to make a long story short, it became clear to me that I want to, and actually, Sade, you inspired this in me. I want to start doing, I'm ready, let me put it, I'm not going to say I want, I am ready to be doing tarot card readings on the air. And by him stepping aside, instead of me getting all pissed off and blaming him for, oh, now I got to find, you know, I got to run around and find a guest and I got to fill the spot. Right. I looked at it and I went, oh, he just stepped aside. Because I didn't have the strength to just declare it, that now that he's stepping aside, I do.
You have an opportunity.
Oh, it was tremendously, I mean, it was so shifted
cool.
the energy of everything.
Don't you love
and,
that?
Oh my God, it's
like
so
when something happens
amazing.
and you're frustrated, but when you just get out of your own way and look at the possibilities of the now moment, now that this has changed, something has changed, and like all the possibilities of now is like
have changed as well. Sade, that's exactly
yeah.
right. Yes. Yeah, I literally was on a new like thread of life because I got that it took me 'cause my whole gig is getting more and more out of the matrix. The matrix loves when we fight, whether it's with self or others. It just loves the polarity of the battle, the push and the pull. It loves it. The unity
yeah.
consciousness, there's no fighting. I mean, it's a telepathic, synchronistic, totally harmonious experience. And the only way we're going to bring that presence onto the planet is to become telepathic, harmonious, unified experiences. That
mm-hmm.
it won't happen
modern
unless
defense.
We do it. Right. Right.
And the possibilities in everything. And
as being positive. And it's
yeah.
a difference, because it's... Oh, I got a phone call. I'm not getting the phone call because it's... Whoever it is, call me on the air. because I had two beeps. And anyways, I kind of lost track. What we just said, what it's possibilities, right? That we're
I was going to say nobody can resist a non-resistant person, right? So if you're finding
exactly.
when things change, you need to
yes.
expand your mind and look at the possibilities instead of resisting the change. And yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to make that go away. Sorry, that was my cell phone. Okay. Sorry.
And you
it's
have the choice to ignore calls.
Oh yeah, no.
Well,
I will definitely ignore calls when I'm on the air, most definitely. because now, and I think what I want to kind of emphasize for clarity, this is not about the polyamory of like what we were saying earlier. I'm always happy. I'm never mad. Everything's sweet and wonderful. This is about embracing that which is dark and finding a positive because of it, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Well, sometimes
you ever meet those people
do,
who just aren't, they're just not, they're like the depth of a piece of paper. They're just always smiling, but there's no depth to them. Like they don't, because shadow gives us depth. In coloring, when we color,
yeah,
it's the shadow
I
that
agree.
Gives the picture depth. The same
I
with
agree.
People. So, you know, I'm all about embody your shadow simply as what is it showing, like for me.
And you know what? Sometimes we need to have the guts to say things people might not want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need
absolutely.
Sometimes we need
yes.
to get angry to make change. Sometimes we need to pull people together and realize there are injustices in the world and that we can make a difference. And that anger, that energy, that passion is a mover.
Yes.
It's a huge mover.
Beautifully
so,
said. Yes. Really.
So we
that.
Need
exactly
to
right.
just acknowledge our anger, our passion, our darkness, our dark sides. Sometimes we need to do ugly things to make changes.
Yes.
Like my grandmother, she was a huge catalyst in getting Native rights back in the 50s
okay.
and 60s, and she did a lot of rebellious things towards the government
yes.
to make change for our people so that our people would be treated as people. And
yeah.
she slit her wrists in a welfare office saying, well, if you're not going to help me, I might as well just kill myself anyways.
Wow.
But basically, you're killing our people. So what's the point? And, like, she did extreme things.
Wow.
Make change. So I'm not saying people need to go to those extremes. I'm just saying that get in touch with your power. Because
beautiful.
Anger is,
yes.
is a power. It's a passion. It doesn't need
yes.
to be negative. But
yes.
it's a mover.
Even depression is a power if you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like if you're not going to own the depression, and I have seen people, especially in this time where, you know, people are losing their homes and their jobs and families are breaking apart, divorce, you know, I mean, there's just such a disarray of the status quo. The status quo is falling apart. And you know, it's okay to be sad at the loss of what you're having because paradoxically, what I found when my mom died, which was by far the most saddest thing I've ever experienced in this lifetime, there was a point where I was at my saddest, but I also understood myself to be at my most potentially grandest because the dysfunction between me and my mom was she was the queen, and as long as she was here, I wasn't going to get to be the queen. I couldn't be the queen as long as she was here. So in her passing, she passed that baton to me, and it's like in my spiritual world, in my dream state, she comes to me and is helping me become my queen. So there's always two sides, you know, and when we're in the middle of the paradox where we're in our most fearful but we feel our most powerful, that potential crossroads is such an exciting time because huge change can take place in those crossroads.
Yeah.
Huge.
Longest. And it's like you have no idea, but
well,
you're in
you
it.
Won't know it unless you face your fears. That's one of the, because facing
yeah.
the fear brings
because,
the fear up, but it also brings
because
out the courage to
know. There's depression
know.
And then there's grief.
No, that right,
and
that's true.
People really need to start recognizing the difference between depression and grief. Because there is a time I thought I was very depressed. And it wasn't until a few years later I was out of the supposed depression. I realized I was grieving. And you know what?
Okay.
It was okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry yourself to sleep. Like, you need to get those emotions out.
They yeah, feeling.
They're
how
feeling.
Many people do you know that don't even feel?
And then we're generalizing it, and we're saying, you're depressed, take this pill.
Right.
Like, we're not expressing it. Like, you're depressed. If you're depressed, there's a reason. You're either grieving. Something
yes.
in your life needs to change. It's a signal
yes.
to,
yes.
to
yes.
yeah, maybe you just need to feel it out and move on. And, and you know what? If you can't get out of those feelings and they become a pattern and whatever, yeah, maybe some temporary medication will help you experience happiness
exactly.
for a moment and get in touch with that feeling. But anything long-term is, I think, dependency is a danger. But we need to just be strong and know that our bodies heal itself and will always bring itself back to balance.
Yeah, rock on. Wise one. Wise Sister Hawk you are, yes you are. The hawks with the messages. It's so true, though. I mean, you speak of it quite eloquently. So true. So let's share a gratitude. You go.
Yeah.
Share a gratitude.
Okay. I'm just so thankful for all my wonderful friends and my whole world that I've created in these 5 years I've been in Vancouver. When I first moved here, like I was already doing like spiritual study and stuff, and I was like 18 and
nice.
I'm like doing law of attraction stuff. My mom forced me to watch The Secret. And so I was basically like, well, I'm my own creator and I'm going to create the world I want. And consciously or unconsciously, I've created a very beautiful community for myself here, amazing friends. Me and my dad have a really good relationship. I love my family. Like, I have new appreciation for just everything. And I'm amazed at how far I've come in 5 years just by consciously creating.
Nice.
So start today.
Indeed.
You
indeed.
Are your
great
own creator.
Share.
And
yeah.
things take time. And you know what? You'll just wake up one day and be like, wow, I did a lot.
Well, and you know,
and just,
I tell people
and
all the time.
And just enjoy every day. Like, don't look for the destination. Just
right.
just enjoy every single day. And
it's
one day you'll be like, wow, I traveled 1,000 miles. because one of my quotes was, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And I felt I was going nowhere fast at that point. So I was like, okay, just take one step. You don't need to know when you're going to get there. Just take one step. Every day is a step, even if you take a day off. You're still in school.
Exactly.
You're still
well, and the
outside.
Step can be intention, which I tell people, there's nothing to sign up for. You don't need money. You don't need certain credentials. You don't have to look a certain way, be a certain age. If we intend to live our lives, because, I mean, when I was 30, I had an awakening. It just was like, I'm a smart woman making really stupid choices, and I wanted to know why. Why would I have such misery and pain and sadness? I mean, the first 30 years of my life, I mean, I enjoyed myself, but it was really always masked by, like, this dark cloud of, I just felt sad all the time. And so I realized that, you know, one of the great, because people are like, how do you start becoming aware? And I'm like, the intention activates all of the non-physical world that is so much a part of the journey having depth. It's like the horizontal plane is the accumulation of stuff, the doing, the everyday world. But the vertical, the up and down part of life, which is movement that you can have in stillness and wisdom that you get through silence, it's very much about the paradoxes from our perspective, because we've been taught that the only thing that matters is the doing. But if
is
you
the
focus
hard
on
work.
The it's being though. The being is, and it is hard work, but it's the best. The results are so, I mean, people say to me all the time, how do I speed up? How do I get more conscious? And I'm like, your desire. If you're desiring it with every ounce of your being, I mean, I don't meditate for an hour and then go about my day. I am in a constant state of awareness of what I'm doing. Am I breathing? Am I inviting in my essence to join me in the body? Am I listening to, you know, Keisha Crowther? Am I playing on my radio show with exquisite
it
human
takes
beings?
Courage to start. It takes a lot of courage to start, because we've built up a lot of beliefs. We've built up a lot of layers. If we don't know what it's like to feel our essence truly. Some of
right.
us, right? So
no, right. Well, and I'm just beginning. So I don't even think I have anywhere near the whole thing yet. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, I'm like people who are like, oh, how do you become, like, or whatever, right? Like, it's looking
at
yourself,
how do you get there?
Honestly, looking at yourself. It's acknowledging the fault. It's healing the pain. It's, you know what, like, in the beginning, it might not be all peaches and cream. It might be some pain. It might be letting out some anger. It might be, it's releasing all those things that block you from being happy.
Right.
And it takes courage. It might take time. You might want to take a month off work. I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, if you're just starting out, there's layers you need to peel back. And it might not be pretty all the time, but you will get lighter and lighter and lighter. And your triggers from others will become less and less, because you realize that nobody can make you anything.
Right.
And if you are getting triggered and you're getting angry from other people's behaviors, from other people's jabs, pokes, even if they're trying to intentionally make you whatever, then there's something in you that needs to be healed. So
right, well, because it's
yourself.
In you. Right, the
it's
trigger
you,
is simply
right?
because it's in you. Exactly.
It could be
That's
an,
what the
it
releasing is all about.
Experience.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so where in my life have I felt this before? It's like
right.
going back in time. It's like, oh, my mother used to say that to me. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's a pain there. There's something there. And it, you know what I mean? So you're recognizing something that's bothering you. But it's either in you, it's something that happened to you. It's a trait that you don't like to look at that you have. It's all that, right?
Well, and I can promise
someone
you,
is
people,
out and someone is acting bizarre and you're like, wow, that person's like really acting out right now, maybe ask yourself, well, maybe this person's been really hurt. Like, where in their life have they experienced this before? And having compassion for the other as well, because a lot of people act in really unhealthy ways, and it's not for us to take it on, but it's for us to recognize that that came from somewhere and that's not their true essence.
Absolutely.
And that takes off the edge too, because then you're not taking it on.
Well, and if you can have compassion for others, you can have compassion for self.
Yeah.
Because we the things you're going to notice, like anything that someone, the world, whatever the world is doing that's bothering you is you. It's in self. If it wasn't in you, it wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
That's the great awareness that people around you, if you don't like what they're doing, it's not about changing the people around you. It's about thanking the people around you for showing you a part of self. And like, I'm speaking for myself and Sade, and this is like universal rule. This is the rule book for all of us. That's why when people are like, I don't know what direction to head in, I'm going, well, usually wherever you're afraid, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very easy to know where to go. Where do you not want to go? That's where you should go.
There's so many places to start. You could just, you know, like, I could think of a million places to start. Like, what don't you like about yourself?
Right.
Start with that. Why?
There you go. Exactly.
Like, you. But, you know, what brings up tears the moment you start talking about it? What triggers, you know? Start healing and you'll become lighter.
Well, it's almost like the planet is going through a healing herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To resist it at this point takes so much more energy than to just surrender to the healing.
Yeah.
Just surrender
also
to
a
it.
Big message is if you heal yourself, you're also healing Mother Earth, because we're all
absolutely
her.
Yes.
So you know what? It's a win-win for every single everything.
Sentient being, conscious being.
Yeah.
And consciousness is in everything, so that's exactly right.
Exactly. Heal yourself, heal your families, heal yourself, heal the earth, heal yourself, heal yourself.
Exactly.
Be happy.
Yeah. And it really, I mean,
give yourself
you'll
permission.
See results. You will see change. I mean, I know, what you know, when you were saying in your gratitude about having a good relationship with your father, me and my father have we have an equivalent relationship right now to what we had when I was, like, you know, up until like 5-6 years old. And he was my hero. Yeah, and I mean, we're compassionate with each other. I genuinely know he respects my choices, even though he doesn't understand them, which is fine. You don't have to understand somebody to respect somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And,
no, totally.
Yeah, and for us to be at that in that space, and you know what was interesting is, I had a realization one day about 3 years ago that, well, actually it's probably about 4 years ago when I first got the radio show. My father, who comes from the block, so to speak, of everything's about education. Here's my father's language: education, finance, and integrity. Those are his, what I call, that's, if you want to communicate with my father, you speak in those languages.
Mm-hmm.
So when I said I was going to do a radio show, you know, at first he was like, this is a pipe dream, you're wasting your money, you know, I don't support this, don't come to me, don't you dare ask me for a penny for this, you know, I mean, it was like, I'm not going to, Dad. And finally what I realized, I was like, my father was expressing back to me my own fears. That I, when I first got the radio show, I wanted it to be, quote unquote, a financial success. I have long abandoned that. And it's not that, I mean, I'm open for this being a financial success, but I'm on Blog Talk Radio, first of all, which is free. And the second thing is, I'm in passion. Passion is something that you don't have to command the finances. It just is part of the passionate coagulation of life. Finances come from it. It just comes. You just got to, you know, if you have the awareness to see when opportunity's at the door, which I'm very keen when opportunity's at the door, that, but at this point, it's like that, you know, because the minute someone says, you know, I want to come on your show, and if within the first three questions they say to me, how many listeners do you have? I'm like, my show's not for you. Because if you're doing this to reach, quote unquote, a certain number of people, that's not my audience. My audience are passionate people. I speak a language that even amongst light workers is not the most popular. And so I'm not looking for the 100 million people audience, because if that was the case, I'd be talking about how 2012 we were all going to collapse and die, because that's what the majority of people want to hear right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking to masters. I'm talking to really a population that I consider 1% of the light workers. And I'm not singling them out from an elite point of view. It's just the point of view that is mine. I mean, and that's who I resonate with, a very select group that we're not here to scream from the rooftops. We're just here to make sure change happens. That's what we're here.
Bring
awareness.
We're
going to live everyday lives.
Bring our own
awareness. Exactly. I mean, finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. And it's a very select group, and I'm completely honored to be a part of it, because all I know is for the first time in my life, and I'm 45 years old, right now I am more connected. In fact, this is my gratitude. I am deeply grateful for the connection I have with a group of people that I know are the strongest of the strong and the clearest of the clear in the soul department, that we know what to do right now, and we're doing it. And I'm connected to them through Facebook, through my radio show, through Dream State. They're my friends. I'm communicating with them. I know it. And the confidence and comfort I have from being with that particular family is of great comfort to me, because the world is going to go through a very dark night of the soul, and it's going to be us that is kind of creating the spaces that what is going to emerge from that is us. We're already emerging, but
I don't think we've seen it. Like, people are going to be turning.
Yeah, you're a part of it. And it's funny, because I know on Facebook when I meet one of these souls, because it's just a resonance I feel, and inevitably we become, you know, very close. And it's awesome. And we're not a small group. You know, it's not like there's only 10 of us. You know, there's a significant amount, but we are spread out throughout the world. That's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us aren't neighbors, quote unquote.
And the
literally.
Cool thing is we wouldn't know if we're neighbors. Because
what do you mean?
Our society isn't so opened. Like,
right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, I look at people on the bus and I'm like, wow, so many of these people can be awake right now, and I would have no idea. Like, no idea. Like, a bus driver, for instance, came to,
absolutely.
Like, I just had her as one of my bus drivers, like, and then my roommate, Alma, before we were roommates, she has little events at her place.
Okay.
Like psychic events and mediumship and blah, blah. So this lady was there, and I just saw her on the bus, and I was like, wow, I would have never thought. You know, like, you just have no idea. So I think it's important to just be comfortable in your authentic self, in your beliefs, and you're doing this radio show, so you're not quiet about it.
Well,
you know,
that's true.
Talk on the street, and don't give a crap about what other people are going to be thinking if you're woo-woo or whatever, because maybe there's something they need to hear you say. Maybe there's something that you're going to spark in them, a total stranger, just by being in your authentic self, no matter what, and really sharing your honest opinion.
Yeah, the strongest of the strong, indeed. Indeed.
Be grateful.
Because I'm telling you, I love having these conversations, because just talking about this brings me to a space that I can feel is expanding. I'm expanded right now, because it's me, it's you, it's who's ever listening. You know what I'm saying? There's, you know, when two or more gather in my name, there's momentum here that is, it's significant. It's like we're going viral. And and even if it doesn't, quote unquote, show up as, you know, being a on the CNN newscast, or, you know, if it doesn't show up on channel, you know, or, you know, whatever, it's like it doesn't have to show up in this dimension for me to feel that it's in this dimension. I feel this.
The expansion, like, energy is
yeah. Yes, as tangible. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is a lot of us have memories, or at least a sensation, that we've had lifetimes before when we spoke, you know, we got burned at the stake, or we got up on a cross, or however it was that we were literally killed because of these beliefs,
yeah,
and because of these wisdoms.
Yeah,
but this lifetime is not the same thing. It is different this time. It really is.
Yeah, it is
different.
And that's why. And so when you're doing your work, of your healing work, and you're like, well, why would I be afraid to speak in front of a group? Why would I? You know what? It could be past life trauma.
Exactly.
And
in fact, more than likely it is.
And right now is the time to heal that, because in North America,
yeah,
we are safe. We are safe to express, and we are safe to heal. And you know what? If somebody someone's gonna call you down, or if someone's gonna, you know, not be supportive in your healing journey, you just have to find someone who is. You just have to leave that person alone.
Or own it that there's a part of self that is expressed. This is yourself showing you. Because in other words, when I looked at my dad, instead of fighting him when he was discouraging me, saying this, don't do this, don't do this, finally I looked at him from internally, not even, I didn't say this to him, but I went, what if he's a third dimensional standard for how I feel about whether I'm going to be successful or not? And instead of saying, you know, oh, he's not supportive, he doesn't understand, he doesn't get it, instead of eliminating him, I decided to look at him as my gauge. It's like, and slowly but surely I would hear him say things that were, like he would come in and go, how'd the show go? And I was like, I would notice that, and I'd go, oh, look at that. He's not mocking it. He's not discrediting it. He's asking me about it. And then slowly I would see him where one day he actually came in and goes, I was talking about not doing the show anymore, and he goes, no, don't let go of your dream. Follow your dream.
Aww.
Because you have purpose in this. He was like, did you see the movie Freedom Riders with Hilary Swank?
No, I didn't.
It's a great movie if you have a chance to see it. But there's
I
a point
see
in
it.
It's a great movie. You would very much enjoy it. I know that. It's called Freedom Riders. Anyways, there's a point in the movie where the father talks to Hilary Swank about her being a teacher, you know, saying, not many fathers get the chance to say this, but I am so proud of you. And my father, in so many words, said that day, saying, don't give up on your dream. And that's when I knew he was reflecting me. That shift did not come about until I owned my father as my being, instead of the being that was trying to take me down.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So you just more or less looked at it as, maybe he's expressing my true fears right now. And
exactly.
And what am I going to do about those things that could come up?
Exactly. And I'll know that it's working by his reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And the shift
my mom's
inevitably
the same
took
way,
place.
Actually. And I'm not the exact same way, but whenever I tell her something that I'm excited about, that I want to do and stuff like that, she's never excited. Like, she's like, oh, have you thought about this? What about this? I don't know if it's safe. And I'm very resistant, and I'm like, Mom, why can't you just be happy for me?
Right.
You know, but I really like that perspective. Maybe it's like, yeah, okay, Mom, I'll take those into consideration. Thanks for pointing.
Exactly. And it doesn't necessarily, right. I mean, they're just letting you know, because, I mean, I didn't necessarily follow my father's advice. So, you know, because my father is like, you got to hit the pavement. And I'm like, no, I got to change my consciousness. That's what, I mean, that's just for me, meaning.
Yeah.
He would give me very third dimensional things to do. I'm not saying your mom would do that. I'm just saying my dad doesn't. he doesn't come from the spiritual perspective. And yeah. I shouldn't say that. He does for his own work, but not consciously in his... He would never give advice spiritually. It's always, did you get your degree? You know, did you go to school? Did you
pass
out your resumes? Right.
He's to believe it.
Exactly. Oh, God, Sade. So you get it always. That's what I love. Yes. So he was just my indicator that I don't believe. Goldie, work on your belief. You know, start flipping beliefs and recognize. Because a big thing for me, a big word actually for me was, I deserve.
That was a big one for a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those that it doesn't get talked about much, and yet it's a very big factor in the ability to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't believe you deserve it, yeah, then you're never going to let it in from the receiving end.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
if people really need
some shifting in beliefs, I do a lot of really good belief work.
Nice.
And through the Theta practitioner that I just got.
Let's talk about that.
What you do is basically you go to the seventh plane of existence through meditation, and then you, for the person who is open to healing and to receiving an instant healing, you basically pull out the programming of a belief such as I don't deserve. And you pull it from their core, which is the now life. You pull it from their genetic history, which is their family and their ancestors. And then you also pull it from the soul plane.
Okay.
So you go through all, or there's four areas. I forget the other one. One's like history, family history, soul level, core level, genetic history. So you pull out the belief. You find out, you could either find out which area the belief is residing and pull it out from there, or you could just pull it out from all four just to be thorough. And then you add in a new belief is I deserve whatever I want. And then you add in that belief. And you can also put in other programming such as I want, you just ask the creator of all that is or the source or whatever you want to call it to instill the feelings of deserving. Instill the belief that this person deserves. Instill the desire for deserving or whatever, right?
So, right, no. Absolutely. Because you know, the minute we set an intention, the nanosecond we set an intention, that experience is here. Now it's up to us to say, well, in this new being, how are things different? Because that's the thing. We set intentions all the time, and I see this with a lot of people on the beginning of the journey, and I know I did it myself. They're setting intentions whether they're at, you know, meditation groups or they're at churches, wherever it is. And then the changes start happening, and they put the brakes on. They're like, whoa, stop. And I'm like, you got to understand, I mean, from either angle, the minute you set an intention, you've already arrived. The change is already there. And that's what I love about what you're talking about in the now, because there's not even a time. I'm learning to let go of time. Everything is literally instantaneous change.
And if you're not finding your intentions are working, there's usually a belief that's like counteracting.
Exactly. And not so usually. There is. Because otherwise, it's a complete change. It literally.
If you're like, I want a new car, and da da da, but you don't believe you deserve a car, then you're not going to get a new car.
Then you don't get the car. Right.
You're going to get a bike.
You get the idea that you want it, but you don't get it.
Yeah, but you don't feel it. You don't feel, yeah. So that's some of the work I do.
Yeah, no, you're. I'm right with you. I mean, that's the work I want to do. I don't have training, but just from experiences, this is, and Bashar, and listening to channelers, and because I'm starting to recognize belief systems are the matrix that make up the experience.
Yeah.
If we consciously chose every belief, we would live heaven on earth.
You got to believe it to see it. You don't got to see it to believe it. You got to believe it to see it.
Right. Well, and this is what Bashar says. Every emotion comes because there's a meaning to something that we've experienced. He goes, no matter how many people think it's the emotion first, then the experience, it's not that way. It's the experience that comes from the belief, and from that belief comes our emotion. So in other words, I could have been a victim of Michael not coming on the air last week if that was my belief that, you know, he didn't respect my show and he was just telling me he's not coming on. I could have been a victim of that. And I'll be honest with you, for the first hour and a half, 2 hours, I was, because until I hit the woods, I had some other things. I was definitely, you know, I was upset about it.
Yeah.
But my goal is to find the positive in everything. And like I said, it's not just smiling and sweeping it under the carpet. I want to
because you had an expectation.
Exactly. Exactly. Expectations are killers, man. They'll kill you.
But it's a natural thing we do, though, at the same
time. Well, it's a part of the process. That's true.
It's a part of the process.
Yes.
And, yeah.
But we can manipulate and change. And when I say manipulate, that's not a negative, meaning we, as creators, we can manipulate our expectations to only think positively.
Our perspective to those unmet expectations.
Yes.
Because sometimes you don't realize we had an expectation. Like, of course you'd have an expectation. He's on the show every third Thursday. That's your thing.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's a natural expectation that you had, and so it was natural disappointment, and you moved through it. You transmuted it.
Yes. Well, because I started understanding the subconscious desire was I wanted to be third Thursdays.
Mm.
So I was participating in that creation.
Neat. That's cool.
Yeah. And here's the funny part. I wanted to do third Thursdays. I ended up doing the talent show on the 4th, which I did tarot card readings. Then the 11-11, I did tarot card readings. And then Prote didn't show up on Thursday. So it ended up 3 weeks in a row I did tarot card readings.
Wow. Good experience. Like,
well,
good,
and that's
like,
what I knew. I was like, Goldie, do you think have you got it yet? Because once I get it, I don't have to create it for 3 weeks in a row. I can just do it on third Thursdays.
Like, I know I can do it. Awesome.
Exactly. Well, and I was definitely frightened the first thing, and I'm going, I'm screwing this up. And one of the people I was reading for was like, no, you're doing great. I mean, the callers themselves were so supportive.
Validating.
Exactly.
I have sort of like the same fear as you, because when you ask me to do tarot readings, like I do tarot readings, and they're always really good and da-da-da, but... Like, over the phone, I'm like, well, will I really get it, like, for this person? Like, I don't know. It kind of, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I guess you just have
to. When you're ready, because I've already decided, friends of mine, that what I'm going to do is, on third Thursdays, it'll definitely be tarot card readings, but it'll be me and other friends of mine that do readings. So, because I thought about you, I said, I'm definitely going to give her the opportunity if she wants to come on and do readings. And you won't even have to do them the whole show. We'll share, or like you do a deck, I'll do a deck, and the caller can say, okay, I want Sade or I want Goldie, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that'll be fun.
When you're ready, and I'm not even going to say if, I'm going to say when you're ready, because I know.
Well, it's just something I got to do. Like, I'm not really going to ever be ready. Like, I'm ready because I got to do it.
Exactly.
For so many years, I just haven't been doing phone reading. So it'll just be a new experience.
Right.
And you just got to try it.
Exactly. And, you know, the truth is, too, every situation, there's a universe, a parallel universe to go with it. So in actuality, you could never misread something. There's nothing that doesn't exist. If you can think it, it exists. If you can imagine it, it exists. Once I kind of got that for myself, that's when, you know, trust the empathic aspect of you, that you're going to pull out what's genuinely helpful, because that's your intention, to the caller. Because the empathy is going to be connected, just like me and you are connected, even though we're not in the same physical space. It's, you know, the speed of consciousness. It's the grid of the lattice.
And self-trust.
Yes.
If it doesn't resonate for the person, that's okay.
That is okay, because some people, as Bashar, some people call purposely to say, to show themselves that they won't resonate with a reading, or they won't resonate with a healing, or they won't resonate with therapy. I mean, that's what they want. They want the experience of resistance. So, okay.
Yeah, they want to prove their point to themselves.
Right. To themselves. Which, and as long as what, the philosophy is always, what you think of me is none of my business. But I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people, Sade, are going to feel very blessed with your reads, because your wisdom coupled with the cards, and I know just from my own experience, is it's going to be profound. The way you're going to speak it, they're going to get it so brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I you really were the inspiration, because I was like, because I said, why are you pushing Sade to do readings when you don't do readings? I said that to myself. And I went, perhaps it's time to do readings. And then, like I said, the way it just worked out, 3 weeks in a row I did readings. And it was like, okay, I surrender, I'll do readings.
Yeah, you can do it too.
Well, exactly. That's the objective, that you can use everybody in your environment, and this goes for our listeners, for the reflection of self. Is there somebody you're pushing real hard to do something? It's not them that needs to do it. It's self. That's why you're pushing them, because, you know, I was just so clear. Yes, walk the walk. Exactly. Because I got that I was pushing you to do readings. I mean, I really heard that in me and myself, and I was like, Goldie, why are you pushing her? Self.
Hush up.
Oh, because you're scared poopless about doing this. But the best part is what we talked about, too. There's a healing that's been taking place for me, for you, my friend Nancy, because it's another voice space where our voice can be heard, where we can do real good things, and it's happening.
Totally.
We're supporting
each
other.
And I think, like, I'm really enjoying, like, our phone conversation. I love talking on the phone. Like, I don't know, lots of people don't like talking on the phone, but I like talking on the phone. I'd rather text somebody, you know?
Yes,
me too. So what I'm thinking in the new year, because I really want to start my business, and so I want to make a website.
Okay.
And I think I want to, like, do over-the-phone coaching and readings and healings and stuff like
Which
that.
Which makes everybody worldwide available to you. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
The world is your oyster, if that's the case. Indeed. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to travel, and I want to, you know, like, I want to have fun, and I want to use my gifts to assist people, and I know, and, like, it's taking me a while to really value my intuition and my senses, and I have a lot of, you know, different skills that I can use to help people, and I don't need to be in the same physical space, because I do Reiki. I'm a Reiki master, so I can easily do long distance healings, and along with that, now the theta, and I can easily do theta long-distance healings.
Exactly.
And I can do coaching and counseling, and by bringing awareness to the things, I can heal them, you know, like, on an energetic level, and just even by speaking things out, and, yeah, so
very
all kinds of things. I just need to, you know, I just need to start putting it out there.
Listen,
so that's my new
ever,
thing.
And also, if you're ever ready, you can do a radio show, you know.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that too. I should.
Well, I say it because you're the way you speak, your eloquence. So, you know, certain people, I'm like, okay, yeah, healing is definitely your gig, but they're not made for radio. Some people are just made for radio. You can there's a flow in your words and a wisdom, and I'm like, oh my God, I could totally. And you know, the best part about Blog Talk Radio is, you can choose. You can do a show once a month. I mean, it's like, if that's what works for you, then you do a show once a month. Because I always say that if someone has the desire to speak, it's because somebody needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the,
and I don't
that's
have
the,
like,
way
the desire to preach or to speak or, like, you know, whatever. But yeah, thank you, because I've gotten that feedback since I was a kid. I got that feedback that, like, I have, like, a good voice and stuff like that, which
yeah.
is because of my name. And I
yeah.
don't really
yeah.
tell people my Indian name, so I don't know. It's like, okay, I'll just follow what I'm supposed to do.
Well, exactly. I'm planting seeds, and, you know, mm-hmm. because that's what we... Because I'm learning not to push, just to plant seeds,
mm-hmm.
and... If you ever, when you're ready
there,
to do, because you can even do one show and not go back to it. You know what I'm saying? But if you ever want help with that, I'm here for you. Totally. Totally,
oh, that's
totally.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
you're
awesome.
Most welcome. Most welcome. Because, yeah, it's all good stuff, you know. It's
all about helping each other and supporting each other, and that's what community is
exactly.
all about.
It is
so,
what community is
so
all
I'm so grateful
about.
For my community. I'm so thankful for my community, and you're a part of my community. And I really encourage people to find their communities, because a lot of people don't have community, and a lot of people don't even know what it's like to have community. And
yeah.
And it's so important. It's so important for our well-being to have support and communication and community. And it's a need. It's a natural human need.
It is a natural need. I agree. Now, but there's also the balance to know that if community is holding you back, you know, follow your own destiny. In other
yeah,
words,
follow your own destiny, because, just because you have friends doesn't mean you have a great community.
Well,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, we need
yeah.
to decipher what kind of community we want and then seek like-minded people.
Right. And well, you know, I seek like-minded people, but I don't know. Well, see, here's the thing, and I'm going to be honest about this. I'm not always attracted to talk to my like-minded friends. Sometimes I'm very much attracted to talk to the people that, quote-unquote, have not gone through, you know, a full-blown awakening yet. And I can't deny that. I mean, that is because I'll look at the two phone numbers and go, okay, I have this friend who's clearly awakened and this friend who we're going to gossip, and I'll choose the gossip. You know, and then I'll hang up the phone and
yeah,
be like, why?
You'll share your seeds with them. And they
yeah,
and,
no, true,
you know,
true. And well, and I also feel for myself is I can't be further on the path than where I am. I mean, I'm not fully awake. And so I have to honor that there's still insights to be gained, right, by dealing with the triggers. In other words, I don't get upset when someone starts pushing my buttons, like as all my Facebook friends know, you know, Scott is out there kind of, you know, crazy on Facebook today, you know, posting things that I didn't write in my name. And now he is somebody in my life that is clearly showing me many things about myself that I can't be upset when things, you know, I mean, if you've been following Facebook, I started talking to him about getting involved in a relationship and then quickly realized, let's play, but no titles. I'm going to stay single because if another human being comes and tickles my fancy, I'm going to play there. Scott has a beautiful mind, but it's a very challenging situation because his emotions sometimes
not
take
on
a back
the same frequency.
We are not on the same frequency. Well said.
There's
but
you
I'm fascinated
about each
with
other.
His. Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no. What did you say?
There's things that you, like, enjoy about him, and I guess it's just finding out what those things are and maybe how you can cultivate more of that in your life.
Yes. Yes. Because
there's
a very black and white. The dark is dark, but the light is good, but I'd like to relax a little, too. There's a what?
There's an edge.
There's an edge, yes.
Yeah, he has an edge.
Yeah, you can feel him.
You like the edge.
I do. Now, let's talk about that, because I'm not ashamed of that, but this is why I think particularly, I know we're going into...
You need to express your badass self.
What? Say that again?
I said you need to express your badass self.
Well, I think there... You know, because
wow.
Listen, I think the next 2 years... are literally, it's my time to shine. For between now and the 2012, basically, I shine brightest as a rebel. In other words, as the rest of the world collapses, my badass self, I can show people how to through perseverance and stamina, how to not just survive, but actually thrive as everything else is collapsing.
Yeah. And you can be blunt about it, and you can be a bitch about it.
I'm built for
this. That is just my truth. This is my truth.
Exactly.
You know what? It's working for me. So if you would like to join me, let's have some fun.
I love you, babe. I exquisite. Because it's, and in that, there's edge in that. Because it's not that I'm not going to stick around for heaven on earth once this breaks through, but this particular time, I'm built for this. I'm built for strength and darkness and light. You know, I'm just built for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because I can tell this is, you know, the way Almin used to say it, which I thought was brilliant, it's my time in the orchestra for my musical instruments to play our part. And I know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're
even though the rest of the world is looking at it going,
instrument.
Well, just for this part, right?
The bat.
Exactly.
To what you're playing, you're the focal point
for the moment. And I've been waiting my whole life for this moment because it's usually been that, you know, I felt misunderstood, I felt ostracized. I'm going upstream, everybody else is going downstream. Then when I started going downstream, everybody started coming upstream. When do I fit in? That used to be my question all the time as a kid. Why don't I fit in? I don't get why what I want nobody else seems to want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that now. I really don't.
The meditation group I went to, the lady, she said something very, very profound. That was profound for me. It's like, we don't need to try to be normal. We just need to be natural. Like,
yeah,
whatever
exactly.
is natural for you. Don't try to be normal. Just be natural.
Awesome. Post that. If you don't post that, I'll post that. That's a great line. I mean, because it really enhances that which we have suppressed, which is coming up naturally. You know, the strongest of the strong, and this is what Keisha Crowther is talking about, too. I also resonate with her very deeply in that you'll know if you're meant to be here right now because it's an inside job, so to speak. It's the inside telling me that. It's not because my bank account has, you know, $10 million, and it's not because, you know, I have suitors at my door, you know, knocking my door down going, oh, you're amazing, you're amazing. It's just the voice within me that's going, you ready? Because it's now. And I'm like, as ready as I guess I'll ever be. But it's not even, like I've noticed I've quit smoking. I'm taking better care of my physical health. I seem to be morphing, again, quite naturally, because it's the desire within that's making me change my eating habits, let go of the cigarettes.
Yeah, your intention your intention is expansion.
Yes.
In all forms.
Yes. 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 And it's showing up. I mean, I'm actually becoming aware of it. Whew.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's very sweet.
Oh, something to be grateful for.
Yes. Yes.
Awareness. Yay. Sometimes it's annoying, though.
I love our talk. Like, we rock this.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's just like for people, you just know that they just wouldn't get it even if you told them, but you see it.
Exactly. Yes.
Bless you.
Yes.
Bless you and all your layers.
We're onions and garlic cloves.
Yeah. We cry.
Not exactly the prettiest flower in the bush, but, you know, we are effective.
Yeah, we make things taste better, too, even though
we
cry.
Absolutely. And we're holistic, and, you know, we bring health and well-being.
Mm.
Actually, have you ever heard I don't even know what to call it, that where people are putting onions in rooms and they're absorbing, like, all this negative energy?
Oh, no, I've heard of that.
Yeah, like an onion in a room with like somebody with who's very ill, like cancers or tumors, for like 24, 48 hours, if you put it, I don't know how this works, and I shouldn't even be saying this, but it has something to do with raw onions, I think, in a bowl of water or something. In like 2 days, the onion, with the intention, absorbs all the negative energy out of the room. And that's why, if you're holding onions in your fridge, essentially, that's what they're doing. You know, they're taking the negative, like it seems like to be a natural design of the onion as an absorber of energies, but especially dense energies.
Cool.
And there's, I don't know, it just got triggered and thought I'd share that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And everybody has access to onions, so you have no excuses.
Tell them, Sade. Yeah, listen, there's no excuses anymore at all. Anyways. If you're ready, and see, this is the beautiful part that I'm starting to learn from my own experience. If you're not ready, that's okay. When you own it, you know, it's like I've had friends who,
totally.
You know, I'm saying things over and over and over and over. Listen, if you don't want the advice, or if you're not going to, you know, absorb it and actually make changes.
I was
going to
go do this like breath work healing thing.
Okay.
And I didn't know what it would bring up in me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just not ready.
Okay.
And I have like maybe a week off work or a couple weeks off work.
I'll
go back and I'll do that. Cause breath work is so like,
breath work is huge. Yes.
And it's so, yeah, so sometimes
it's metamorphosing.
Admit
it will change.
You're not ready.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, okay, well, maybe I have like some earthly obligations right now that some deep healing would interfere with. So I'm open to the healing when it comes, but I'm not going to evoke myself right now.
See, I totally honor and respect that because it's still owning your clarity. You know, there's something about, you know, the denial game. And again, I mean, one of the things I've noticed is it's a feeding. It's a feeding where, you know, friends that always want to heal those people that are, you know, chronically ill.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been there. There was a woman who I was very good friends with going through a divorce. This is going back, I don't know, 5 years, 7 years ago. And, her whole divorce, you know, she'd get on the table and I would do the Reiki and the EMF and I'm attuned to all sorts of healing stuff.
And
the truth is, at the end of when the day is done and said, she never let go of the anger of her husband, and our relationship and friendship just fell apart anyways. You know, because at first I was like, I'm gonna heal her, and it's like, no, you're not, Goldie. I mean, I could make her feel good, quote-unquote, for the moment because that's all she really wanted my energy to do.
Yeah.
She wasn't looking to let go of the
anger. She just wanted
an
instant release.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some attention.
And that's where, like, as healers, we need to just allow people to be. And if they're not ready, then that's okay. And if they are, we're here. And
exactly.
Like, for instance, one of my clients has said he's going to get a place since he started the program in, like, August.
Nice.
Every single check, he's like, I'm going to get a place. And I was, like, so rooting for him. I was helping him look. He had things lined up. But every single week he had, like, a new plan to get a place, and he just never did. And he still hasn't. And we have 2 more weeks left of the program. And I've basically just let go. And I've said, well, these are these guys' life. And if they're not ready to... You know what? I can't waste my time or my energy constantly encouraging them when I know that they're just not ready. So basically, they know I'm there to support them, so they can ask for that support.
Yes, which is also part of the healing, the ability to ask. That's part of it.
Ask. Because if you're so willing to give and give and give, people can say, okay, 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 but maybe they really haven't. Maybe they're just, it's just kind of being given to them. They're not acknowledging that something really needs to be healed. And yes, I want this so bad.
Exactly.
And please help me. So I put it out there. People know. And if they really want my assistance, they come.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, I'm starting to understand, like, from my own experiences, if people aren't looking within, you know, in other words, if their dialogue is still, it's the government, it's my parents, it's my spouse, it's my kids, it's my job, it's my weight, it's my, you know, pick a they.
Yeah.
At this point, there's nothing I can really do for them. Because
no.
As long as it's outside of them, the work I do is about helping people understand, no, there is no outside. It's all within. It just looks like it's outside.
You have a choice. You have a choice in your perception. You have a choice
right.
to change that perception. You
right.
have a choice to accept and move on. But if you're going to keep blaming and saying it's this and that and this and that, then you're a hamster.
You're a hamster, giving your power away, wondering why the world sucks. I mean, well, it's just so
in your own shit.
It's really not complicated. It's not. I mean, God bless the people that make it complicated when, you know, what? It's really not. Well, and, you know, it's beautiful because I think we're going to see an accelerating of awakening.
Well, my friend was telling me, like, my really spiritual friends was, like, telling me, like, right now, like, yeah, we have speeded up, but in 2011,
yeah.
like, spring 2011, things are
yeah.
speeding up, like, frickin', like, 20 times as fast as they are now. And
yeah.
to be honest, like, my intuitive abilities have been increasing, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing, like, energy, I'm, like, feeling things,
yeah.
I'm so aware, and I'm, like, you know, I've always wanted to be psychic since I was, like, a little kid, like, I'm always, but now I'm starting, but I never really had, like, I could never see auras or da-da-da-da-da, it's something that I've just been, it's been building, and now it's,
okay.
like, oh, my God, if I'm already, like, here, like, where am I going to be in, like, a year? I'm
exactly.
Just like, I have no idea.
Because nothing, it's not like just the 6 billion are awakening. We're opening up to more and more of who we are as well. And it's like everything's
and accepting
moving.
Our power.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
oh,
really exciting.
Right now,
I mean,
it's a James Redfield book. It's called The Secret of Shambhala. And it's like.
Oh,
it's a
great book. I've read that book. Yes.
You read it?
Yes.
I'm reading it
yeah.
right now. And it's like
oh,
so,
it's a great book.
So great just for right now. And he's all talking about extending his prayer field and.
Yep.
And
yep.
eating the right food and like all these
yep.
things to get to The Secret of Shambhala. And I think I have past lives from Tibet. One time I had this very vivid dream that my mom's psychic lady friend called me in my dream and I answered my cell phone and she's like, don't you know you have Himalayan magic? And I was like,
oh nice.
Really? Thanks. And I didn't know where the Himalayas were until now, until I read the
nice.
Book that they're in Tibet. And I always
yeah.
have people saying they feel like I'm very, like, Buddhist. But I don't even really know what Buddhism is, but I sort of do. But I guess
just
I have
think
a lot
compassion.
Of
if you think of Buddhism, they're very compassionate.
Yeah, it's the end of all suffering, right? Basically.
Well,
so
it's
like,
the acknowledging that suffering is. Therefore, you're not. It doesn't own you anymore.
Yeah.
So one of their four basic truths is suffering is, which is really just the acknowledging of it. And once you acknowledge something, it all its power goes away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have power yeah. over you anymore. So, exactly.
Yeah, you're aware of it.
Yeah.
You're not just suffering
yeah.
in it. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not enslaving you.
Yes. Yes. You rock, sister. Now, do you ever, do you come to the States at all?
I have a passport. I'm going to Mexico during Christmas vacation.
No, nice! Nice!
But I really desire to travel, so I'd love to maybe come out and visit you one day. When we, like,
oh,
maybe.
Outstanding. I mean, and vice versa. But, I mean, I got New York City, like, 40 minutes away. So, I mean, clearly we would go and, you know, have
and
some
I'm right
time.
In Vancouver, so I could just drive to, like, well, I don't drive, but I get my dad to drive me to Bellingham or, like, Seattle.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can fly.
Hey, maybe someday we'll take a cross-country drive. Like, you know, we'll just take, like, 3 months off. One of us will fly whichever way and then drive to the other one's coast through the whole land and see stuff. And
I need to get my license.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you telling me that was a thing going on for you. That's awesome, sweetheart. Congratulations.
Yeah. No, I don't have it yet.
Oh, I thought you said I just got my license.
No, I said I need to get it.
Oh, okay. Well, and listen, if you ever need, you know, I'm more than happy to support you too. We can. It's just a belief. It's just a belief.
Ooh, it's so weird. Tell me.
we'll talk. I can't wait. Right now, we're gonna have to end the show. But Shade, yeah. I love you, sweetheart, and you're gonna come on again, right? You're one of my frequent guests, right?
Yeah. Yep, I'll come on anytime. We'll coordinate it. Just let me know some dates.
I will, because I'm actually looking at the calendar. It might even be it might be in December. I'm waiting on some people to confirm or not. But if they don't hurry up and confirm, I might just throw you in. Are you
Which
cool
December?
Doing
December? Early
December 23rd.
Oh, the 23rd, sure, because I'm supposed to be back from Mexico on the 22nd, and I'll be in Alberta.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Okay, well, and I got to wait and see what happens with
in
that.
In the new year.
But okay.
Yeah.
I'll be in touch, and I'll see you on Facebook anyways.
Yeah, man.
So, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I
happy
love you guys. Yay! We love Sade from Canada.
Thank you.
We beautiful
love
soul.
You.
I love you, sister. I just love our talks. It's just like
Thank
me and you,
you
talking, and people get to listen. It's beautiful.
I know.
You're very
so
welcome.
Awesome. And people
yeah.
should call in more.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And we'll talk too, because maybe actually we'll do next third Thursday, the 16th in December. You come on, and if you feel like it, come do some readings. Because I know you're gonna blow away. I know you.
That's
are.
My mom's birthday. I might be in Mexico.
Okay. Oh, I honor that. I honor it. Plus, it's mom's birthday. All right. We got to end the call. I love you. I love
All
you.
Right.
I will see you on Facebook. Thank you so much, sweetheart.
Yep. Take care.
Bye. I love everybody. Bye.
Hanging up now.